G'day MGTOW mate. I just thought, I think with all this trans shit and all this feminist shit going on, the way men are really sort of missing out on all the action. So I thought, well, oh God. I thought, it's got all the colours of a parrot, hasn't it? Yeah, so, let's see what to fucking wear. But, yeah, it's a good thing to sort of take the piss out of all the fucking feminists with, you know, just slather it on, give them heaps and heaps of shit. And, yeah, give him heaps of shit and store. Store I bought it from, well, there's all these fucking, you know, shitty looking feminist dykes that are like, you know, in their 40s and 50s, you know, and they're all covered in tattoos and they still look like, you know, 16 year old sort of delinquents, you know. And I scored negative Nancy. And I got one of those situations where I'm asking negative Nancy, you know, if they've got any vuvuzelas, you know, those plastic, long plastic trumpets. And I said, you know, if you paid attention to your musical teacher when you was in school, you learned that playing things like the like the recorder, to do it really well, is all based upon breathing technique, you know, your position, how you hold your head, or how you hold your head, all this sort of shit, you know. And I said, same thing with these vuvuzelas, you know, if you play them properly, and I shit you not, like I'm not sure of the exact sort of figure, but when I stood on my front porch, if you play them just so, like as if you are actually, you know, not trying to do it, not trying to do an imitation fart, you know, but like, if you play them properly, you know, the pursing of the lips, the how you hold your head up and how you breathe with the diaphragm and stuff like that, I'm not sort of making this up, but I'm not really vague, a bit sort of vague on it, but like, they're fucking loud, you know, they're loud like, they're louder than truck horns, you know, like big air horns on trucks, and they're sort of kind of in the volume range of say the big air horns on locomotives, you know, trains, you know, the big ones, you know, the ones you can hear for, on a clear night you can hear them from like, you know, 15-20 k's away on a clear night with no wind in a place where there's no fucking noise, you know, easy. And because I stood out on the front porch, you know, nothing better to do. I'll go blow my fucking horn, you know. And all the fucking neighbours were, you know, having shit fits going, oh, where's the noise coming from? Where's the noise? You know? They're driving round and round going, oh, what is it? What is it? What is it? Oh, fuck, you know. I thought, you fucking small town peanuts, you know. So I let rip a blast on this thing every, couple of times every 10 minutes, every half hour or so, maybe once an hour or something, you know. Because I could, I finally actually learned to play it. That was the main gist of it, you know. I'm the diaphragmatics and the fucking breathing and all this other sort of stuff, and it was like, fuck, that's powerful, you know. And so anyway, I explained to her, you know, that if you had been paying attention at school and had done what the teacher said, you'd understand that playing a wind type musical instrument is actually posture and fucking breathing and diaphragm and how you hold your head up and tongue and lips and all this sort of stuff is really fucking important, because once you get this down sort of pat with playing a vuvuzela or blowing one, you can just fucking amplify like real volumetric power, you know. Or real acoustic fucking power. It's impressive, you know. And she lets loose with this phrase. It's like, oh yeah, it's probably good we don't have them in stock then. You know, fucking, you know, just has to piss on someone else's parade, you know. So I went and found the wigs, and Esmeralda Fondel Cock. Hello, I'm Esmeralda Fondel Cock. Oh God. But that's only for, you know, taking the fucking piss out of the feminists, you know. And when I went back to the checkout with the wig, you know, whole $12 worth, I thought, well, it's got a little hairnet thing inside it just to keep it all sort of confined. And I thought, well, doesn't really look matter if it gets really fucking scruffy, because like most feminists are pretty fucking scruffy anyway, you know. But I said, oh, it's wonderful, isn't it wonderful, now I can go home and do parodies of all these nasty little feminists, you know. You know. And she didn't like that. Oh, she was chewing ball bearings, you know. Ah, fuck, she was grinding her teeth at that. But that's all right. Sometimes I genuinely feel sort of sorry for them, because they were just fucking cunts. Just fucked up people who are brainwashed by other fucked up people, and they never had anybody to show them how to grow a fucking spine and how to stand up for yourself and how to, you know, not go along with the bullshit just because every other fucking idiot's doing it, you know. Maybe if they hadn't have had fucked parents, and maybe if they hadn't have had the only people who they knew how to get along with were really fucked up people, you know, and maybe if they had some good role models and good sort of some good strong relationships to bond with, they wouldn't have been sort of more of these people who were just sort of cast adrift from the day zero, you know, set adrift and left to fucking find their own way, you know. And you know, the group identity. The group identity was the only thing that gave them fucking belonging, you know. So they took up the diatribes of the fucking group, you know. Or diacreatics or something, you know. And so that's where their loyalty, they pledged their loyalty to the people that they identified with. And also none of those people had any sort of a fucking solution, you know, to anything. So on one hand, it's really good to, you know, just sink the boots into these brainless fucking bitches and their bullshit, you know. But on the other hand, it's kind of important to sort of think of them as, well, they're people too, you know. You know, and at least sort of, at least, oh, what a good man. And, to at least give him the benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean? To plant that sort of seed that, you know, not everything that you believe or have been sort of brought up to believe and have been sort of influenced to believe is actually fucking true. Most of it's a lie, you know. And I didn't run into Blondo, which is good. But there was another young chick there, she was about 22, and she was fucking nice. You know. She's young, she's fertile. She's absolutely fucking beautiful. And, you know, I gave her a good look over, you know. But, well, I didn't have the time or the inclination to say, you know, get started. You're at the best years of your life for, you know, having children and raising a family, get on with it. You know, don't squander the fucking opportunity, you know. Really make the most of it now, you know. Don't wait till you're like 27, 28, 30, 32, 34, because it'll be too late, you know. She was nice looking though. The what else? Not much. Yeah, I won't show you while I'm driving. But I did a major sort of upgrade on the cutlery. Because what happens is when I have certain sorts of events happening in life, I tend to say, well, this is really important, you know. Pay attention, learn from it. Work out some way to circumvent this problem if it happens again, you know. And, through just chance, I got this a bit of overexposure there, you know. Eyes on the road in the corner. And this knife, as you can see, has got a part serrated blade, part straight blade. And the reason why I chose the partially serrated blade was that, you know, me and a friend were coming back down the mountains on one of my motorbikes. He was on the back and the tyre split, you know, and it was a sort of bald in the metal type tyre, and sort of bald. It still had a fair way to go on till you hit the carcass, you know. But it put a split in it, probably about that long. You know, the tyre actually mechanically split, and then the tube bulged through. And then coming down this big mountain road, we weren't going real fast or anything sort of extreme, but the fucking tube popped, and the tyre went from full to flat in about 20 seconds, maybe. And all I had was, you know, I just grabbed the front brake and a little bit of back brake, and I just dropped the speed down really fucking fast. We weren't hammering, we're just sort of cruising down the fucking mountain, you know. Nice road, no rush, you know. And pulled over, and then the fucking tyre was dead flat, you know, the back tyre. And, come on. And, oh, here's the big trucks again. You weeds. Oh, I wish I'd... When I drive completely off the... Oh, fuck, go on. Big fucking trucks everywhere. So anyway, but what that left in my mind is that there might be times and places where you actually have to mechanically cut a tyre, either cut into a tyre or to stuff it full of grass and shit, you know what I mean? Or, you know, to mechanically sort of cut the fucking tyre off, you know? You know, if you don't have bead breakers and there's nothing sort of heavy to sort of... If you don't have tyre irons, you know what I mean, and shit like that. And so that's what the idea of that knife was. And when I was up the Elmore Field... Elmore Field days, I found a man that was selling these knives. He liked me, and he's very nice, and, you know, selling them to me for $10 each, and I thought, fuck, that's a really good price, and they are a really fucking good knife. The decision to purchase was based upon a number of things. It had to be a really good, strong blade. It had to be a mechanically strong handle. It had to have a very positive mechanical lock that would not come undone, you know, and the blades, you know, blade would fucking close up on your fingers, that sort of stuff, you know. And, fuck. Holes in the road. And, yeah, I got to start taking a video soon of gravel, rocks. You know, so, yeah, that was the thing with that knife. And because he was an old guy and he came over from South Australia and all that sort of stuff, and because the COVID type shit hit, and it basically put a lot of people out of business, you know, and not being able to get across the border and all this fucking crap from the fucking police, you know, and the fucking fake governments, I wanted to run into this guy and buy, say, like another 10 knives, you know. Because they're so good, if I come across stuff that's really fucking good and it's doable, you know, I kind of want to share them with people, you know what I mean? They're a really fucking good knife. And, well, he went out of business and faded away and got old and sort of disappeared and couldn't be contacted anymore and all that sort of shit. So there went that sort of thing. But on the eBay, a guy, people on eBay are selling this. The knives have evolved in design where they've got more efficient use of material and a few other little changes. I'll show you this, I'll pull over. Also need a fucking drink of water and I've got to start filming this video, you know. Well, this is the original fucking knife. There's a seat belt cutter thing. There's a window breaker, little knob thing on the end there. There's a back lock so the knife doesn't open fully and then keep going. And this is the this is how you sort of open it. Ah, fuck. But see, that's the spring. Ah, fuck, how do I do that in reverse? Well, that's the lock, the locking mechanism, and you just spring it back like that, and it closes. But that's it. And it's got nylon bearings in it and all this other sort of shit. And that is mechanically, that is a fucking brilliant knife. And so that's the mechanic kind of, or universal knife slash mechanical knife. But because the serrated edge is a little bit sort of, it's a work knife, you know what I mean? It's not like food knife, you know? So what I saw was, I saw these ones. And for all intents and purposes, which way is that going? These are sort of fucking identical, except these ones up here, they're a bit bigger in the handle and a bit bigger in the blade. And the design is almost identical. See, they got the spring and bar. So they've thinned out the springing bar. The lock remains fairly positive. It's got a good positive lock on the back of the blade, so the blade doesn't open and keep opening. It's a bit bigger. It's got a really good recess there, so your fingers don't slide forward in the blade, you know what I mean, when you're thrusting or whatever. And you got a good sort of grip on the hand, you know what I mean, when you pull the knife back type thing. You know, you don't go, you know, and try and lever off fucking cylinder heads, you know, off blocks that are glued down or some shit, you know what I mean? We don't try and lever off heads that are glued down onto cylinders. You know, you don't sort of, you know, if you're really stuck, you might, you know, just gentle little bit of tap, get the leverage and break the fucking glue line or whatever, but yeah, the main thing is I've got some pretty sort of, I don't know if you can see that. See there, there's a scar there. That's where I've had a blade, a closing blade, or a blade without a lock, you know, where I'm going, you know, and the fucking blade, you know, I get it a bit like that, you know, it's pushing up like that, and the blade just swings around and closes on your finger. Well, that was, yeah, you can see it when the sunshine is just sort of so, that there's a scar there, and it goes kind of around to there, sort of somewhere. So I cut half the fucking end of my finger off, and I nearly cut the other fucking, you can see the scar. Oh, yeah, you can see the scar there. I've nearly cut the fucking end of that finger off. Using my dad's knives, you know, one of my dad's knives fucking improperly, you know. Trying to cut through a plastic handle on a motor control on a little toy speedboat, and my fucking finger's on the other side, so when it cut through, it went fucking wham into my finger, you know. But this knife, it's a really good strong knife. If it's kept clean, it'll last a lifetime easy, you know. And it's a food, it's a portable food preparation knife, you know. You know, because you can cut fruit and veggies and slice up meat and all this, you know, it's to travel with. It's a travelling fucking knife. And the main reason why, one of the main reasons why I got this for the motorbike was this is a very strong knife. It's got a positive lock, you know, none of the blade closing on you sort of stuff. And when it folds up, what that does is it folds up very neat. I'd prefer solid blades, you know, like where they've got a big thick tang and then the blade and a good handle and all that sort of stuff. I'd prefer straight knives. But straight knives, if you've ever had any sort of high-speed motorbike crashes, you find that, you know, when you and the bike and the tool bags and all sorts of shit going all fucking directions, the last thing you want is a knife that's coming loose and to be sliding over the top of it in some sort of fucking fashion, you know what I mean? So this is why I insist on having blades that fold up, and these can be wrapped up in like a little leather pouch or whatever, and this is stuck in the bottom of your tool bag, you know? So, you know, if you ever come off, you're not going to be fucking sliced open by one of these little monstrosities, you know? And that, because I was able to get these, it's superseded. This is now, that tool knife is actually in the tool bag sort of thing. And this knife is the fucking, you know, the knife that's kept for fucking preparing food on the road. You know what I mean? It folds up. It takes up very little room. It's good. It's strong. Razor sharp. And it's a sane and, you know, it's a fucking good thing. I don't, you know, because I try to make really good decisions, and I've put in a lot of thought for most of the purchases that I make so that I get absolutely fucking excellent value. It's a really good strong knife. It's long lasting. Yeah, so that's the way to do it, you know what I mean? So that's the changes. So those two of those knives came through, same factory, same fucking knife manufacturer, but they've upgraded in the time that they've, they're using less material for the spring lock, which is, I approve of mechanically, you know, it's more efficient use of resources rather than putting in a big, thick spring bar, you know? But, you know, like, if you're going to sort of, if you're able to sort of bend that blade, like, so hard that that spring bar fucking buckles and pops, I mean, you must be, you know, this, at that sort of sledgehammer sort of impact energy, you know, it's like, it's not something you'd do in the normal course of cutting or wrestling, you know, like fighting, you could fight crocodiles with that knife, you know, but, yeah, you know, and that spring bar wouldn't collapse. I wouldn't put in anything much thinner, though, you know. Yeah, so anyway, I've got to go take a whole heap of photographs. So, dear MGTOW men, you have a good day, and I'll catch you later.